It is a great privilege today to have one of our missionaries with us. And I say one of our missionaries because we have been supporting him and his wife for quite a long while. I don't even remember how long it's been since we took them on. And Pastor Jan and I have had the privilege of knowing them for a little while. Back in 1986, we went to Arizona, and over the next 10 years from that, we ministered in two different places in Arizona, first as youth pastor, then later on as senior pastors. And we met Steve and Beverly Clendaniel at that time. I think it was during our first time there. So we've known each other for 30-something years, and we must have been kids when we first met, children. But anyway, they are some of our missionaries ministering to Native Americans, and they've done that all throughout the Southwest over the years in Arizona, New Mexico, other places, special outreaches and things. And I think right now most of their ministry takes place in New Mexico. But I would rather they have the opportunity to share all the things that they're involved in. And as always, when we have missionary guests, he's going to come, and whether it's going to be two separate things or all wrapped together, share what they've been doing. So you know that as you give to missions, this is part of what you're supporting. And whatever is accomplished in the kingdom of God, we get part credit for that. And I mean, that's not why we do it. We want people to come to know Jesus and to grow in their relationship with him. But it's such a joy to be able to support missionaries all around the world and across our nation. And as Pastor Henry said, usually we take a special offering at the end of the service for missions guests, but we're not taking any offerings right now. So just put any and all offerings you have in the back on your way out. But I do encourage you and challenge you to give generously to our missions guests this morning. I know that even before we celebrated Thanksgiving, I sat down and wrote our check out and marked it real clearly on the envelope. You can put missions guest. Don't just put missions, because that'll just go into missions. Put missions guest or missionary, or if you want to be really brave, write Clendaniel. And even if you don't spell it right, we'll know what you mean, okay? And put that in the offering as you go out. But those of you who are online, you can give online. Just go to our website, and when you get to the giving part, put other, and then mark down in the box that it's for our missionary guest today.
Yatehea bene. Behas. How many have no idea what I just said? Yatehea bene is the Navajo greeting for good morning. Behas is the Pima word for, I don't know what you said. So you play the Pima part. You say Behas when I greet you in Navajo. Okay, let's try that. Yatehea bene. See, you're already speaking Native American. Praise God. Hey, speaking of Christmas cards, I want you to know something. And if I start crying, I'm sorry. You don't know what it means to us missionaries. We're away from our family. My wife and I have been away from our kids, most of our ministry, because they moved away from the reservation. We get that packet of Christmas cards. Bev and I just so enjoy looking through the cards. We get them from the children's church. We get them from the men's ministry. We get them from women's ministry. We get them from the youth group and individuals. Those cards make our Christmas special. So you think, well, that's just a card. No, 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 no. When you fill out that card, it makes a difference. At least for Bev and I, it totally changes us and makes our Christmas. We look forward to it. And one year, the address got changed, and we didn't get them right away. And thankfully, the church called and said, hey, we got your packet back. And I thought, oh, I thought they forgot us. Which I was sure that wasn't the case. But so I gave them the correct address, and I got them. And Bev and I sat there, and we just enjoyed them. So thank you. So if you have never done that before, be a part of that next Sunday. See, and you'll be able to bless us, and we'll already be looking forward to that. Amen. Beverly, why don't you come and greet us this morning, please.
And thank you so much for all your giving, too, because of you, we can go out to the Native Americans and we can share Jesus. We have a big project this summer. Last summer, we had different teams that were going to come out on the reservation. Because of COVID, they canceled. And actually, their reservation is closed right now because of COVID. But anyways, this next summer, we have a young missionary that's 27 years old. He's engaged to marry a Navajo. He's from Indiana. And he was our pastor associate as we worked out there, and we were interning a pass as pastors on a Navajo church, and because their pastor had died. She had been there for over 37 years, so we were interning then, and then he decided he would take over. Well, he didn't think that he was going to pastor, but the Lord got his heart and took the pastor there. And they don't have a parsonage. He is living above the fellowship hall, and there's no shower up there. He has to go downstairs to do the shower. There's no oven, no big refrigerator. Anyways, we are going to be making all different people from all around. Our team's coming in to make a parsonage for them on the property. And so this is bigger than us. You know, I heard someone say, well, if it's bigger than you, God can take care of that, because if it's just us, it's not always God. But anyways, it's a big thing that we have. Steve has been on the phone raising money and also getting different teams coming. And, you know, God is just bringing things in. It's really exciting. So that's going to happen next summer, that we're going to be, I'll be feeding all the teams. And Steve's going to organize everything. But anyways, you have a part of that. This church is a small church, very loving people, very giving people. They actually gave us a grandchild. We had a son that was a grandchild that was born. They gave us a party for that. I never heard of that, a baby party, a shower. But anyways, thank you so much. You're a part of everything that we do for Jesus. Thank you.
Man, I tell you what, church, God is so good. Oh, let's try that again. God is so good. And all the time, when we work together as a team, we join hands one with another, it makes a difference. By ourselves, we serve God. But when we team up with a partner, we become mighty and strong. And anytime you and I begin to partner with other people, the devil doesn't like that. He gets nervous. Because as long as he keeps us separated, he thinks he has a better chance of defeating us and getting us to be discouraged and without hope. But when we come together as a church and as a body, and we begin to partner together for God's kingdom, great and mighty things happen. Amen? Well, I've got a job to do this morning. My job is to help you answer this question. Why should you care about Native Americans? Why should you care about Native Americans? I want you to just begin to think of that through and begin to come up with an answer for me. Why should you even care about Native Americans? Well, to give you some understanding of what our Native American plight deals with, there are 4.2 million Native Americans here in the United States. 4.2 million. That's a lot of people. Out of the 4.2 million, how many of those do you think are in a relationship with Jesus? A percentage from 0% to 100%. What would be your guesses? It's 5 to 7%. Now, I don't know about you, but when I heard that stat, it didn't help me very much, because I'm thinking, okay, 4.2 million, 5 to 7%. I kind of got, you know, like, well, okay, what does that mean? Well, let me help you understand. What that means is the rapture just took place, and 3.9 million Native Americans find hell the reality. Now, we're not talking about another country. We're not talking about across the ocean. We're talking about in our backyard, in the state of Florida, as well all the way out to the West Coast. Our native people, 3.9 million, will find hell the reality. On the reservation, it can get up to 85% unemployment. Just stop and think about that. How many of you have ever been without a job? Let me see your hand. It wasn't fun, was it? It was very difficult. Can you imagine being without the opportunity to earn income and have to live that lifestyle? It's not because they don't want to work. It's not because they don't have a desire to take care of the family. But see, we came into this country, as we settled America, what we did is we came in and we seen what the Native Americans had. We seen their beadwork. I'm wearing a Choctaw beaded necklace. We seen their jewelry. We seen their pottery. And we thought, wow, that's wonderful. Tell you what, I'll trade with you. And so what we did is we began to ask them for their trinkets, their blankets, and their pottery and their beadwork. And we said, we'll give you something that'll make you feel warm inside. And we give them alcohol. How many know when you drink, you do things you would not normally do otherwise? And so we brought into the native people a bondage that began to affect them. And to this day, still is a struggle on the reservation. On the reservation, we face poverty that is hard to even begin to fathom. And on top of that, because of the alcohol, you have emotional, physical, and sexual abuse that takes place. Here's the problem. The name of Jesus is not heard on the reservation. It's a dark, dark situation if you don't hear the name Jesus. If you live in a community that has not had the opportunity to have the gospel brought to them, you're living in a dark situation without hope or purpose. The marriages break because of the poverty and the alcohol and the disintegration of the family unit. But see, here's the thing. When we bring Jesus to the center of the picture, guess what happens? We see light come. He says, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. He had desires to raise up and lift up and encourage people. And so the idea is to take the gospel to the reservation. What do you think my biggest struggle is when I go to the reservation? What would be your guess? What's my biggest obstacle I have to face? You're right. I'm white. When I walk on the reservation, this has actually happened to me. Everyone has their own vision of what a Native American looks like. And let me tell you, if you watch too many John Wayne movies, you got the wrong image of Native people. We have this image of this tall, strong Native man with the long beads, beaded hair, and you know what I'm talking about, right? Well, this man came up to me like this, and I thought, wow, you know. And he says, what are you doing here? Why are you on my reservation? And I looked at him. I said, well, I'm here to share the love of God. I want to share about Jesus and what he can do for people's lives. Oh, you're one of those. Okay, I thought, okay, what's one of those? He says, well, wait a minute. Young man, let me ask you a question. You mean to tell me you want to tell me about your Jesus? You say your God's a God of love. Yes, sir. Well, I want to ask you a question. Why do you want me to love a God who's a murderer? Pardon me? Why do you want me to love a God who's a liar? I'm starting to get a little upset inside my spirit. How many know what I'm talking about? He says, why do I want to love a God who rapes women and beats children? Why do I want to love that kind of God? I said, sir, I don't know what you're talking about or who to explain it to you, but that's not who my God is. Well, you just said that you came to represent your God, did you not? I said, yes, sir. He says, so you represent Jesus is what you're telling me, correct? Yes, sir. And he says, your people raped our women. Your people killed our people. Your people stole our lands. Your people made treaties, over 2,000 treaties, and less than 200 have kept to this date. Your people represent your God. You want me to serve that God? That was an eye-opener for Bev and I when we first started our missions work. We thought, how do we get past this? Because I already had the struggle because I'm white, and then I come to them to represent a God, and these white people came before me, did all these things. In fact, I don't know if you're aware, but our army sent blankets into the reservations full of smallpox. And thousands upon thousands of Native people died because of that disease, because they didn't have the genetic ability to overcome that sickness. And so our Native people struggle with that fact. And so what is the answer? How do I reach Native people? How do I make a difference on the reservation? The answer is really simple. I find a Navajo, and I pour my life into him. I find a Pima. I find a Papago. In fact, what I do is I find one of the 602 different tribes. I work with various tribe members, and I share Jesus with them, and then they go on the reservation. When they step on that reservation, they belong there. And when they start talking about Jesus, they don't talk about white man's God. They talk about God of the red, yellow, black, and white. They're all precious in his sight. And so that's our job, and you've been partnering with us for over 20 years. When did you start pastoring here, Pastor? Well, I know ever since then, when you first came, that first year, I believe, if I remember correctly, is when you picked us up here. 16 years together, we've been doing missions and reaching out. And to this date, 10,179 commitments have been made for Christ since 2001. Come on, church. And it's not Bev and I, it is you partnering with us who allows us to minister to those Native people to reach them. Currently, we work in New Mexico. We have 14 different churches we work with. 12 up on the Navajo Reservation, 11 on the Navajo Reservation. We have a Pueblo church, and we have two different Apache churches. And what our job to do is come alongside those pastors and encourage them and ask them to trust God. How can I help you? How can I partner with you? And we do that through teams. We work together with mission teams. Pastor, I'd like to invite you sometime to bring a missions team out. Matter of fact, I told Pastor Henry, you know, send the youth group out. We'd love to get the groups together to come out and minister. During the daytime, they do some things around the church and help the church building become stronger. At night, they do revivals. We're seeing God do some great things through that. Your giving is making a difference on the reservation. Well, when you leave today, back on the table, there's a brochure. You're free to take one of those. It tells a little bit about our ministry. Also, we have a white man prayer card. I had to share that because that's what this is. Because I have a Native American prayer card, too. It's in there somewhere. There it is. A piece of corn. Back on our table, there's a little tray of corn, and I encourage you to take a piece of corn, because here's what I do with my corn. Here's my prayer card for Native Americans. I put this prayer card inside my change purse, and Brother Henry, a real man has a change purse. I know you're young and just getting started in ministry, but a real man is not afraid to have a change purse. Get you a change purse, brother, and then tell Pastor, hey, Pastor, I'm more of a man than you are. Show him the change purse. I found out you have the same problem in Florida that I have in New Mexico. These crazy gas pumps don't work. I want $20, and the pump does what? $20.01. So I've got to walk in to pay this cashier, and I get out my $20, but I got to give her a penny. So I opened up my change purse. If that coin, I see it, then it counts. If it's buried, I don't do this. But right now, my corn is sitting on the top of my change. And so when I see that, I go up and I give her a penny. Now, I'm Pentecostal. I believe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I believe in speaking in tongues. I don't have a Holy Ghost fit in front of the cashier and start speaking in tongues. Boo! And freaking her out. But I do this. I give her my penny. And I've never missed a time, I honestly say that I step 2, 3, maybe 4 steps away and I stop. And I hold my change. Remember, a real man, Henry. A real man, Pastor. Come on. I hold my change purse and I say, God, would you touch our reservations? Would you help the light to get on the reservation? Would you allow Jesus, the name of Jesus, to be proclaimed across the reservation? Would you allow them to come into relationship with you? Would you bring salvation? And would you fill them with your anointing? In the name of Jesus, touch our native people. And I put it in my pocket and go on my way. Would you be willing to pray that way? Would you be willing to take a native prayer card and as you leave, Dave, grab that piece of corn and put it somewhere? Now, Pastor Henry, I know you may just like, I don't know if I can do this. Well, put it one of three places that you're always involved in. On the corner of your TV, on your computer, or where you probably spend a lot of time on the refrigerator. But would you put that someplace that whenever you see that, you'll pray for the Clendaniels and pray for Native Americans and know Jesus? How many can make that kind of commitment today? Can I see your hand? Wow, look at that, Bell. Praise God. Together, we're going to see that number to continue to grow. Is it making a difference? That's the question I have for you. Is it making a difference? Let me tell you about one reservation, and I want to take it to one village. Bev and I was there ministering in the middle of that crusade week. We had a 10-year-old boy hang himself. See, suicide is 4 times the national average on the reservation. In the middle of that reservation, in one village, a 10-year-old boy hung himself. How can a 10-year-old boy become so desperate and feel there's no hope for life? And that summer, we buried 18, 13 to 17-year-olds. We can't let that go on. Today, on that reservation I'm talking to you about, 85% of the churches are now Pentecostal. There are thousands upon thousands across that reservation. They're coming to know Jesus. And the churches are raising up. And Native men are stepping in as the pastor. Us white guys, we're getting out of the way like we're supposed to. And the Native men and women are standing up saying, I can lead my people to Jesus. And that's what's happening on the reservation. Because you and I together have made that difference. Would you stand with me right now? I want to encourage you to do something with me, if you would. I want you to have your first 1 minute prayer that you would pray for Native Americans. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to pray. And at the end of that prayer, I'm going to stop. And I'm going to close this in prayer for 1 minute. You ready? Begin. You pray. That's it, church. Let me hear you. Raise up your voice to God. Call out to God right now for our native people. Touch him right now, God. Touch him right now, God. Touch him right now, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got 30 seconds to go. 30 seconds. Come on, church. Press in. Press in. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Worthy are you, God. You are worthy, God. Worthy, God. Thank you, Jesus. 15 seconds. 15 seconds. 15 seconds. That's it. Come on, church. 10 more seconds. Father, we give you praise and glory. And in the name of Jesus, the church said, amen and amen, amen. You may be seated. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Does that 1 minute make a difference? Think about that right now across this auditorium. How many people will still come in it to talk to Jesus? And the reservations are going to hear the gospel. Praise the Lord. Father, right now as we come to your word today, we just ask that you would just give us an insight how we can partner with you. Father, you've got a plan. You said you have plans for us. You want to prosper us. You want to help us. You don't want to harm us. But you have hope in the future for every one of us. So, Father, as we looked at that today, we ask that you would help us. Help us to see the plan that you have. Help us to step into that plan. And, Father, help us to fulfill what you've called us to do. And, Father, we'll give you praise and glory. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. This morning, I would like to share with you a message. I'm taking the word from William Borden, a 25-year-old missionary back in the early 1900s. He wrote in the back of his Bible, when he passed away, his family saw these words. No reserves, no retreat, no regret. And I'm going to add all in. So this morning, we're going to talk about no reserves, no retreat, and no regrets, all in. Turn with me, you would, in your Bibles to chapter 7 of Romans. Romans chapter 7. And look at verse 15. Romans 7, 15. Put your finger there and let me take a moment to share something with you. We all start off life with a blank page. We can be anything. We have the ability to become anything we desire to be. And God has a plan for our life. His plan is what? To bless us. He says, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. He comes to come alongside us. He wants us to do great and mighty things. In fact, he says, you will do greater things than I've done. Do you realize that scripture? Church, stop for a minute and think about that. He says, you and I will do greater things than he's done. Now, think about all the great things that Jesus did. And he says, we'll do greater things? See, he looks at you and I with great expectation, great anticipation of who we can be when we connect with him. But see, on the other side, just like any coin, there's another entity. We call him Lucifer, the devil, Satan. His job is to come to steal, kill, and destroy. And so what he does, when we start off life, he begins to try to distort things in life. If he can get us to change the pattern that God has for us, he becomes successful. And what he does, he introduces to us things in our life that are not pleasing. We find out early in life that within us there's two things in operation. There is good and there's evil within every mankind. We have these desires that we constantly battle with and struggle with. And he tries to magnify those things that are wrong. And as long as he can continue to twist us and change us, he doesn't want us to see our potential. See, as we begin to realize our potential, we think, is much less than what it really is. But God has a plan for you and I. But he has a plan, Lucifer. He says, I want you to get involved in alcohol. I want you to get involved in drinking. And you do things and say things. What happens is your life begins to come apart. He brings in different drugs and addictions. And all of a sudden, our life begins to fall apart. We start looking at our life and wondering, what do we have to offer God? He brings relationships that are not godly, relationships that can cause destruction. And our life continues to disintegrate. He continues to work at us to doubt that God is real. He wants us to think that God doesn't care about us. And our life is beginning to fall apart to where we feel like we have nothing to offer God. And we look at the destruction because of our sin, because we allowed our own sinful nature to take authority. We have the authority to control our sinful nature. Come on, church. We have the ability to tell that sinful nature, in Jesus' name, no, and we can tell the spirit within man, the Holy Spirit says, yes, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. But here we end up with a situation that our life has been distorted and our life has been destroyed. And we wonder, why would God want this? And someone comes along and says, give your life to Jesus. Let Jesus come into your life and make a difference. And we look at this and we say, why would Jesus want this? Have you ever been there, church? Do you remember when you were there that your life didn't offer much? You would look at the destruction, the mess that you made in your life. You could look across the floor of your life and you say, man, there's all these broken pieces. How can I ever be put back together? And Jesus says, if you just come to me and put your life in my hands, I can make beauty out of ashes. I can do great and wonderful things. And so we get the courage and we kindly put our hands, ourselves in God's hands, and we trust God. And God begins to do a work within us. And he says, the problem is you've been trying to do it yourself, Steve. The problem is you've been trying to do it without me, Steve. Steve, we see you when something happens is when you and I work together and you and I are partners, I can take the brokenness. I can take the things that you thought are totally worthless. I can take those things you think that nobody wants. I do want those things because, Steve, what I can do, if you'll let me, is I'll begin to untwist and unshape things. And what's going to happen is I'll make something beautiful come out of your life. This is what God wants to do for you, church. This is what God wants to do to you, friend. Those of you watching online, God is saying to you, if you'll just give your life to me, this is what I can do out of the brokenness and the pain and the hurt. I can change things and I can make a difference in one's life. Are you willing to let God do that for you? Are you willing to partner with Jesus? Because see, we find this story that we're talking about in Romans, the 7th chapter and verse 14, 15. Let's look at that together. I'm reading out of the NIV. It says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do it, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good, and as it is, it's no longer I myself who do it, but it's sin living in me. For I know the good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it is a sin living in me. And even though I find this law at work, although I know although I want to do good, evil's right there with me. For my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, raging war against the law of my mind and making the prison of law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man am I. You know who wrote this, church? This is the Apostle Paul. This is a man who's trying to live for God and trying to serve God. He says, you know, I want to do what is right. I want to do what is good, but I do what I don't want to do. I know that I should be doing this good, but yet I find myself doing the things that is not good. I don't want to do this because I really want to do this, but I keep doing this. I don't want to do this because I really want to serve God and I want to do the right thing, but I keep finding myself over here. What a wretched man am I? Have you been there, church? Have you been in that struggle? And Paul says, what a wretched man am I? Who will rescue me? Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ. I've got three helpers going to come and help me this morning, if you would, please. Grab a wrist. Now, I'm going to help you understand. I'm going to give you a visual understanding. This is what Paul is saying. This is Beverly. She loves God. She wants to serve God. She wants to do right. This is the good within her. That's the things that pleases God, the things that gives her goodness and happiness. That's that part of her life. But within her is also desires of sin and evil, things that are not pleasing to God. Watch what happens in this process. See, there's a war going on between the two of them. Beth's trying to go one way, but the evil keeps pulling her. So what's her answer? How does she solve this problem?
Jesus, help me.
So Jesus comes into the picture, and he takes and breaks the charge. He breaks the hold of the evil. He breaks the hold of the evil and breaks it down. And what happens is that evil will reattach itself. See, the old man has to die daily. Every day we have to do it because that battle keeps on going. The struggle, it reattaches and the struggle starts all over again. So what's the answer? What does she have to do, church? Talk to me. What does she have to do? And same thing, Jesus takes and separates sin from evil. He doesn't take that. Jesus, when you call upon him, he steps in and helps you. Come on now, he doesn't take it away, the evil desire with it. He brings us the ability to control it through him. As long as she tries on her own, she can't do it. She's in the same struggle again. She's battling again. Come on, church. What's the answer? And so what happens when she calls out to Jesus? He not only does that, but he also causes death to come to that sinful nature, and he casts it down. And that's the ability that God gives us, that we can do that. Thank you, guys. Thank you. That struggle, that battle is constant within us. It's a battle the church deals with. See, we talk a lot about sinners. We talk about a lot of people that don't know Jesus. They got it easy. How many know they got it easy? They got it easy because they don't know who Jesus is yet. So they're just living life the way they think life's supposed to be. But when you come into that relationship with Jesus, you take on a new understanding of life. You take on a new understanding of who you are and what you can become. And the plan that God has for you is greater than anything you could ever imagine. And that battle rages within us. But as long as we try to do it on our own, and men, I've been there. I've tried to do it on my own. I've tried to do it with my own ability. And every time I try, I lose. But when I call upon the name of Jesus, and I call upon his authority, and I line myself up with his word, what happens is there's victory that comes into my life. See, if we're going to live this Christian life, we got to have no reserves. If you sell out to Jesus, you got to sell out. You can't keep a little piece in the backyard for Jesus from him. You've got to give it all to him. How many know what I'm saying? If you're going to serve God, it's going to be no reserves. And once you start serving God, you can't retreat. You can't run from God. You can't run from the battle. You got to be willing to face life head on because you're not facing life by yourself. You're not going through the struggle by yourself. You've got the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will help you. You've got the Word of God that gives you the floor plan of how to create that thing that God has for you. He's got a purpose for us. And then we have to have no regrets. I don't regret giving my life to Jesus. I don't regret serving Jesus. Has it been hard? Yes. Has it been difficult? Yes. Has it been lonely sometimes? Yes. Have I been disappointed? Yes. Has the church hurt me? Yes. Has a pastor disappointed me? Yes. But Jesus has never hurt me. And Jesus has never disappointed me. And Jesus has never forsaken me. And I have no regrets. Because see, church, I'm all in. I'm all in. There's no reserve. There's no retreat. And there's no regret because I'm all in. I'm all for you, Jesus. I refuse to do anything else. Question I have for you this morning. How many believe there's a heaven? Okay, let me see your hand. I want to see you, make sure. Okay, all right. Keep it up for a minute. Keep it up for me. All right. How many know what a coin is? Wave at me. There's two sides of a coin, right? Okay, here's my thing. If you believe there's a heaven, there's got to be a hell. You put your hands down. If you believe there's a heaven, you've got to believe there's a hell. And I got news for you. Life that we're going through now is nothing like hell. I've had people say, well, I live in hell now. Well, no, you're not. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. When we die, we're cast into hell bodily. And in that process, there's five major senses that you and I experience as human beings. We have sight, touch, taste, smell, and hearing. In hell, there'll be darkness. Talk about the darkness of hell. Have you ever been in a place that's totally dark? My wife on our honeymoon went to Ruby Falls. And down in this cave is this waterfall, and they get to the bottom. This was before cell phones. This is back in the early 70s, or late 70s, I'm sorry. And people would have lighters. They get down there, and they said, now we're going to turn off the lights. Don't get scared. Just stand still. We want you to experience darkness. And please, no one light a lighter, because there's always some clown in the group that wants to ruin it for everybody, right? So they turn this off, and I'm going like this. I'm trying to see my hand. It was total darkness. Can you imagine what that would do? To spend that for eternity, forever and ever and ever. In hell also, that takes care of our sight. What about our touch? It says that there were going to be eternal flames and torment. Have you? How many's ever been burnt? I don't mean a little bit, but you've got a good burn sometime in life. It hurts. It hurts. Could you imagine spending eternity over and over and over again feeling the sensation of a burn? Think about this, church. Thirst. We find in Luke that we hear the story of the beggar Lazarus going dying and the rich ruler dying. Remember the story? And that story in Luke 16, what happens? He tells us this. He says, he looks over and he sees Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. And he says, Abraham, would you let Lazarus dip his finger and let one drop fall on my... Oh, man, you talk about taste. Have you ever been thirsty? Have you ever been so thirsty? I got to get something to drink. Can you imagine spending eternity over and over and over? The smell of the burning flesh, the smell of hell. I mean, hell's a real place, people. We got one last thing. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping. Can you imagine spending eternity listening to people screaming and crying and weeping and begging God for another chance, saying, God, give me one more chance. If you just let me have one more chance, I promise you I'll do it this time. One more chance. And God says, you had your chance and you refused to take it. Church, that's why we do missions. Because there is a reality. We know that heaven's wonderful. We've got the pearly gates. We've got the streets of gold. We've got a moon. We've got a mansion waiting for us. We have blessing. We have the anointing and the blessings of God. But on the other side, there's a hell that we need to talk about. There's a hell that people are going to. There's a hell that people are headed to. But the good news is they don't have to go. Jesus said this. John 3:16. Ready? How many know that verse? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. Isn't that how we read it? Friends, I'm going to tell you something. I don't think that's how God intended us to read it. That is a message that God gives us. And so if you allow me, this is my interpretation, the way I think God would have us read it. I think God does this. He says, I want you to read it this way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. That verse is more than just a Sunday school verse. That verse is more than something we just learned in our early years of childhood. That verse is the foundation of the church. For God loved the world so much. But do we as a church love the world? Do we, as a believer, do we love the world? I am so blessed to see across the front of this auditorium of all the different countries that you're touching. This church in Marion Oaks, Florida, is touching the world. We've got to do our part to reach the world. We've got to do our part to make a difference, because in all these countries, heaven's becoming a reality and hell is coming a thing of the past. See, that's why we do missions. That's why we give to missions. That's why we partner with missionaries, because we want men and women to have the same chance that we have. You want to get me upset? Let's have a church dinner. Have a carry-in. Everybody gets in line. And then Pastor Tim pulls me aside, and he wants to talk to me about something. It's a good thing, you know. Maybe he wants to talk about, you know, doing something special. And we finally get done with our conversation. We go back, and people have already gone through the line. We haven't had a chance to go to the buffet line yet. And all of a sudden, 10 or 15 football players walk up the line and they get their second, third, or fourth plate of food. And you're looking at the food and it's almost gone. You're thinking, I didn't even have a chance yet. Hey, guys, let me eat. Church, there are people waiting to eat from the banquet table of Jesus. And we've been so blessed in this country that we've been able to eat from the banqueting table of blessings and honor. But we need to realize there's many around this world just waiting for their chance, their opportunity. And friend, that might be you today. Maybe you're waiting for your opportunity. I'm here to tell you this morning that God loves you. He knows where you're at. He knows where you've been. He knows what you've gone through. And he still tells you, I love you. I gave my son for you. And all we have to do is reach out and accept that and grab hold of that gift that God's given us. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And we have the ability to help others to be able to change and move from that. Let me finish up with this, church. Romans 10, 14 through 15 says this. Romans 10, 14 through 15 says, how can they call on the one they've not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? In missions, it's no reserves. No retreat. No regret. All in. No reserves. No retreat. No regret. All in. No reserves. No retreat. No regret. All in. Say that with me, would you? No reserves, no retreat, and no regret. All in. What, do it again. No reserves, no retreat, no regret. All in. One last time. No reserves, no retreat, no regret. All in. Mark 16:15 says, go you. Everybody do this. Do this. Go you into all the world and preach the good news to every living creature. That's not my preaching. That's not a missionary telling you. It's God himself telling you and I our responsibility to go into the world and preach the good news. How is that possible? I cannot be in more than one place. I'm in Florida right now. I'm not in New Mexico, right? You're where you're at. How do we do that? It's very simple. If we're not going, we need to be sending. Let me say that again. If we're not going, we need to be sending. And that's what your mission's given. When every month, when you come and you participate in a mission Sunday and you give your missions offering, you say, well, it ain't very much, but it's collected together as the church comes together and puts their part. Someone can do $5. Someone can do $10. Someone can do $100. Someone can do $500. It's not the amount. It's the faithfulness of giving to missions that makes a difference so you can go to the world and be a part. That's what happens when you give to missions. Think about it, church. No reserves. No retreat, and no regret. And finally, here's the questions that I need you to ask yourself this morning and give an answer. If you're here this morning, online, or in this room, and you've never had the chance to say yes to Jesus, you've gone through life, you haven't come into that relationship with Jesus, this is your day. This is your opportunity. This morning you can say, Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. And Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for the brokenness and the sin that I've committed. And God, I accept that gift of Jesus. And I ask you to come into my life. And I give my life to you. Because from this day forward, there'll be no more reserves, no more regret, and no more retreat. Because I'm going to be all in. I'm yours. If that's you here today, Jesus can do that for you. And he can help you. Secondly, if you're like Beverly, struggling with the sin, you're saved. There's no question you want to serve God. You know that you made a commitment to God, but you find yourself struggling. You find yourself battling with that. Today's your opportunity to realize that you have the authority to break that cycle. You can stop it and say, in Jesus' name, and you can be set free of that bondage. You can be set free of that addiction. You can be set free of that bad habit. Amen? That's your opportunity today. Third, Isaiah 6:8, Isaiah said, hear my Lord, send me. Hear my Lord, send me. You need to ask yourself this question right now, church. God, do you want me to go? Well, Brother Steve, I'm 75 years old. I'm 80 years old. God didn't say go into all the world until you're 65. Right? It doesn't matter if you're a 5-year-old, if you're an 85-year-old. We all need to ask a question. Do you want me to go? Do you want me to go? You need to ask that question. And then finally, the last question. Will you send someone? Will you send someone? Will you partner with Marion Oaks Assembly of God and be a part of the missions giving process? And will you invest in missionaries? And will you, on a monthly basis, give that offering and help those missionaries fulfill the plan that God has for their life? That's a choice we have this morning. Amen? So this morning, call upon Jesus. Ask him to help you. Call upon Jesus for victory. Ask him if he should go. And then ask him how you can send. Pastor?
Thank you, Steve. What an encouragement and a challenge this morning. Amen? Amen. We're going to close the service in a couple of moments. But I want us to end as we have been doing. Our worship team is going to sing and play. I'm going to invite you to stand. You've been sitting for a while. I want us to take a couple of moments to meditate on what God has spoken to us today. And you don't have to meditate on what God has spoken to us today. I want you to meditate on what God has spoken to you today. Steve has given four different challenges here at the end. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ, I would join with him and encourage you with all that is within me to do that today. I'd also encourage you to pray, God, how can I be used in my world? And how can I be involved in missions? Lord, what do you want me to do? And maybe the other one is just, there's an area of your life where you need victory. And God wants to give you victory. So I'm going to, as we always do, invite our staff to come and our elders, if you're available and willing. And as the worship team sings and plays, and you're welcome to sing along if you happen to know the song, we're going to take a couple of moments. And if you want to find a place to pray, you want to be where you're at and pray and ask God how this applies to you, who you can reach out to, ask him for help to have victory, whatever it might be. If you need Jesus today, I want to encourage you to come to share that with us and let us pray with you to see that happen. Or if you have any type of need at all, it may be totally and completely unrelated from this message. You need a touch from God in your body. You want to come and ask prayer for a family member or a friend or for any specific need, we'll be down here and we will be glad to pray with you. And in just a couple of moments, I'll come back and conclude the service. Amen. You know, I can really relate to that song. I need him. Don't you? I'm so glad that I cried out to him when I was 10 years old to say, God, I need you to forgive me of my sins, and he did that. But you know what? I still need him every day. For the very thing Steve was talking to us about, to walk in victory, to be open and empowered, to be used by him wherever I go in my world. God may not call you to go to Native Americans or to another country or to another place, but he's called you to go into your world to make a difference wherever it is that you do go. And I don't know about you, but even as a pastor and a Christian for so long, I still need him to help me with that. So, thank you, Steve, for the challenge and the encouragement. I'm going to close in prayer. I know Steve and Beverly will be in the back at their table. If you would like to talk to them, greet them, tell them how much maybe their words meant to you and challenged you, I'd encourage you to do that. And again, encourage you to give generously toward their ministry. Just mark it very, very clearly on the envelope and put it in with the regular offering. Father God, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for your presence with us today. And God, not just with us today as we've gathered in this place, but Lord, your presence dwells within us. If we're Christians, if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior and surrendered our lives to you, you are with us wherever we go. But Father, we need you. We need you. Help us to stop trying to live our lives on our own, in our own strength. Help us to stop trying to do your work, Lord God, on our own and in our own strength. Fill us afresh and anew with your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord God, to cry out to you and depend upon you in every area of our lives. God, I pray for those who have various needs today that you'd reach down and touch them, meet those needs, to bring healing, strength, protection, wisdom, insight, encouragement. Father, I pray that you'd help us all to walk in victory. We all have areas in which we struggle with that sinful nature. Lord, help us to not give in, to not go back, Lord God, but instead to surrender fully to you and walk in the strength that you give us. And Father, I pray, dear Lord, that you would use us in our world this week. Thank you, Lord, again for your presence here. We give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen.